of the prayer closet. Power of the prayer closet. There's something about a prayer closet. Does anybody know what it is? We'll talk about that too. If you stand, we'll read you a couple of verses of scripture and we'll get right underway. Matthew chapter number 6, beginning with verses number 5 and then verse number 6. And when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, that you woke me up again. Thank you, God, that you allowed us to be back in your house. Thanking you, God, for your mercy and grace. Thanking you, God, for the spirit we feel down in our heart. Thanking you, God, for the saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for those that are in the house of God. We pray for those that are not this morning, those that are not feeling well. We pray, God, a special prayer for them. And we pray for those, Lord, out in this hot sun trying to do things, God, that you keep them safe also. And I ask your blessings upon this service and on the Ravenna Church of God. And everybody says, amen. A little summary. After two tornadoes hit a house in Alabama, only the prayer closet was left. This is recorded. This is a fact. Time in the prayer closet changes us, refreshes us, brings us peace, and washes our souls. It alters the future and the present and brings a great reward. Does anybody believe that? Give you a little humor before we get started. Some things really change between a former generation and the kids of this last day generation. There was a kid staying at the grandma's. She's babysitting her grandson, Derek. Derek followed her into the bedroom, and she was putting up things away in the closet. Grandma, he said, what room is this? This is a closet, Dirk, she explained. We don't have a closet like that in our house, he said. Of course you do, she said. You have lots of closets in your house. When he again denied having closets in his house, she tried another tactic. Where do you keep all your clothes, she said. A true child of time, and he replied, in the dryer. Now, Derek isn't the only person who doesn't know much about closets. Many Christians don't act like they even have one either. You know, it's amazing what little children can ask us, isn't it? But they have such a tender little heart. Tornadoes spare the prayer closet. Fox News ran a story back in the third month and the 26th of this year about an Alabama grandma whose prayer closet was left standing after surviving two tornadoes. Wow. It happened down in Alabama, where there was 23 lost their lives. The praying grandmother, known effectively as Mama Reese, sing and praise her way through the storm. We just pray together, she said, and held each other. And her daughter was telling about this. And this is what it's all about, folks, understanding that God is say. Before I go any farther, just a few miles from where we lived when we were in Wisconsin, there was a town there called Oakdale. Oakdale had a cannon factory there, and our clerk and her husband lived in that town. 23 years ago this week, a tornado struck that town. It blew cans from the cannon factory all the way across Lake Michigan over into Michigan itself. I'm talking about 10 cans that they put beans and stuff in. But the thing about it is, it literally took their house right off of the foundation and them in it. They were in the basement. They ran and got in the basement and huddled up in a corner and grabbed the water pipes and held on for dear life. That tornado literally picked their house up off of the foundation, just like you'd pick up an ice cream cone and just smash it right in the backyard. Their riding lawnmower was sitting up in a big tree. But the thing about it is, it took everything that they had in a matter of seconds. All the stuff is one of the most beautiful antique houses. She had it decorated so beautifully. She invited us over for a lot of dishes that we wasn't accustomed to and so forth. But I tell you, it was some great food and all of this. But it's amazing how God kept them safe. And there was another house just a few feet away. It didn't even bother it at all. But it took their house and lifted it up. They were hanging on to water pipes and God kept them safe. And the house was gone. All of a sudden, when they could finally open their eyes because of the dust, they said all they could see was daylight above them, what used to be their house. Amazing thing was, he got to searching, and guess what? He had taken his billfold out of his pocket and changed clothes. After he came in, his billfold was laying in the backyard, safe. Isn't that something? It's amazing what God can really do. But she reminded us of that this week. It had been 23 years. I hadn't realized it had been that long. But God kept them safe. So Sister Gordon and I went over right after the storm passed on. And I tell you, we couldn't get to them because of the emergency vehicles and all of this. But I never forget the first Sunday they came back to church after that tornado hit. I can't remember exactly what day, but anyway, they were so pitiful. They didn't have any clothes other than what they had on their back. They didn't have anything other than this billfold. I can't remember about her purse, but I know the billfold was safe. But they were so pitiful when they come in. Here they had lost all, but yet they were giving God praise. And they didn't lose all, really. They didn't lose their life. But what I'm saying is they lost all of their possessions that were so beautiful. And she admired her antique house and all of this and all of her antique furniture. But just in a matter of seconds, it was all gone. But I tell you, they give God praise for just keeping them safe. They're still giving God praise for keeping them safe. They built a new house later and all of that. And they're still doing fairly well. Her husband has gotten kindly a little bit sick anymore because he was over in Vietnam and he worried at that old Agent Orange and all that stuff. He's not doing as well as I'd like to see, but and she's had cancer since we left, but they're still surviving. And they're still pressing on for the Lord. You see, folks, we can never give up regardless of what comes our way. Tom and Chris Pearson, great warriors of God. Captain Jason Smith wrote once, he says, well, about this, actually about this tornado I was talking about, I just left a family who survived the tornado in this house, and the only thing left standing is a closet. He continued, it's the grandmother's prayer closet, and the whole family survived. Folks, I want to tell you, it pays you to have a prayer closet, don't it? The picture of this closet that survived went viral, and it made national headlines. It emphasized the power of prayer to avert disasters. And can we all say praise God? Now, isn't it amazing? They could have went anywhere else. But she knew and felt safe, and she got her family in that prayer closet. Not only one tornado, but they rebuilt, and it happened again. And the Lord proved the devil couldn't kill them because it wasn't their time to go. So what is a prayer closet? The word closet, we could translate it maybe as something in the bedroom because it's a closet. But what's a prayer closet? It's a habit place. It's a place where we shut ourselves up with God, seeking Him and calling on Him and having intimacy with God. The importance of prayer, folks, is very, very vital and important. Now, I want you to notice something about some Gospels in the Bible. I want to talk about, you know, they're all actually similar, but they're all different. And they're different the way they've been written. They're different the way that it sounds and all of this. So the Gospel of Luke has been called the Gospel of Prayer. And why would I say that? Why? Other Gospels say, now listen very carefully. Other Gospels say, but Luke says. The other Gospels say, but Luke says. S-A-Y-S. Jesus was in Jordan when the Spirit descended like a dove. Luke says, it was while he was praying that the Spirit descended. The Gospels say Jesus chose 12 disciples, but Luke says it was after he spent a night in prayer that he chose them. Now, isn't it amazing how that Luke puts emphasis on prayer? The others just say they were chosen. Jesus chose the 12, but Luke says, hey, it was after he spent a night in prayer. And it's so important and valuable we understand how we need to pray. Other Gospels say that Jesus died on the cross. But now notice this. Luke says that while he was dying, Jesus was praying for his enemies. The other Gospels just said he died on the cross. But Luke is putting emphasis on, hey, while he was dying, he was praying for others. And you know very well that the thief on the cross looked over and said, remember me when you, in other words, when you enter paradise, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was still forgiving sins while he was on the cross. Other Gospels say when Jesus was on a mountain, he was transfigured. Luke says it was while he was praying that he was transfigured. Now notice this. See, the other gospel just says Jesus went on the mountain, was transfigured. They don't say anything about prayer. They were just thinking about what happened in the natural, how it happened and all of this. But Luke is saying, and he's declaring, hey, he says this while he was praying that he was translated. So it's important to understand, even though the other Gospels, they're showing the history part of it and how it happened and all of this, which is great and wonderful. But Luke comes back and he emphasizes this and he says, and he talks about Jesus praying. After Jesus prayed, this happened. And after Jesus prayed, that happened. And all these things. And he says it happened after Jesus prayed. Now, if it's important for Jesus to pray, it's very important that we pray. How often should we pray? We should pray often. The Bible don't give us a specific time span. Some people can pray longer than others, and some pray less and all of this. But the important thing is, We need to emphasize just like Luke, because he says Jesus, like he went on the mountain, he prayed. And we need to pray also. Nothing is more transfiguring than prayer. Prayer doesn't always change God, but it always changes us. Can you say amen? It changes every view of God. In Isaiah chapter 6 talks about he was praying when he saw a vision that averted his life. He saw a vision, or was something happened. And then Paul was praying when he was caught up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable things. His life was changed. From that point on, Paul was never the same. I want to tell you something, folks. Prayer is so valuable and important. And then we go to the Apostle John. A lot of people call him John the Revelator, but the Apostle John was praying on Patmos, the Isle of Patmos, when he heard a great voice saying, come up here, or come up hither, and he received the book of Revelations. He was shown things. Some things he was able to write, some things was to be shut up that he couldn't write anything because it wasn't the time. But I want to tell you something, folks. I believe that prayer is why that we have the Bible. It's why that we have things that we really need. And it's wonderful to know that even Isaiah back in the old Bible, there was Paul in the New Testament, and also the Apostle John was praying on the Isle of Patmos when they had put him out in exile, put him out there away from everybody else. He put him out there to die and all of this. All the other disciples died a martyr's life, but Paul didn't. He died of old age, according to historians. It changes our circumstances. Do you believe it does? Romans 8 and 18 and 19 says, for I beckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Woo! For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth to be manifest of the sons of God. Prayer changes our view even of ourselves. Do you believe that? Some people say, I hate myself. Let me just ask you something. Do you really hate yourself? Do you hate God in you? If God's living in you, or the Holy Spirit's living in you, hey, don't hate the Holy Spirit. You may say you hate yourself, but I want to tell you something. God created you, and he created a jewel, because there's none other in the whole world like you, and you don't need to be hating yourself. People want to harm themselves. Why in the world do you want to harm yourself? That's dumb. That's dumb, right? That's dumb. Amen. That's bad, horrible. I don't want to hurt myself. I do enough of that accidentally. Prayer changes our view. When we see ourselves as God sees us, then we're changed. Prayer changes our view of others. Do you believe that? We begin to recognize the people around us are saved or lost. See, the more we pray, we understand that there's people saved, but there's a lot of people lost, and we need to pray for them. We need to witness to them every possible chance that we get. So we need that prayer. It helps us to understand what's around us, and we can realize that some of these people are lost. Matter of fact, there's a lot of them lost. There is some saved. And then there's nothing as refreshing as prayer. Do you believe that? Begin every day with prayer. It's so important, folks, to begin your day with prayer. Prayer is the key to the kingdom. Prayer starts your day off on the right pace. Without prayer, if you get up and you don't have time to pray, hey, pray a little while you're on your way to work or wherever, if you didn't have time to pray at home. But don't forget to pray, because it sets your day in motion. It sets your day in God's provision that's ahead of you, and it sets it in motion that the things are going to happen, and we just need to give God some praise and thank him even before it comes to pass. So we need to begin our day. Don't have your concert and your tune, your instruments afterward. Begin your day with prayer. Starting off with prayer, folks, it's very valuable and important. We begin each day by taking a bath or shower, don't we? Or we took one the night before, right? It makes us smell better, yes or no? Likewise, we should also get prepared spiritually. There's more things than just washing the outer appearance. We need to wash the inside and make it clean too. Give you a little humor. There was a little girl asked her mom if she could start taking a bath each day before school instead of at night. Her mom asked her, why? Because each day at school for 2 months, the teacher has asked, would everyone who's taken a bath today please raise your hand? For 2 months, I haven't been able to raise my hand. That's why I want to take a bath. She wanted to take a bath in the morning because the teacher was asking the question, and she wasn't going to lie about it because she took her bath of the night. Most children do, right? Most children take their bath of the night, and then they get up and take their pajamas off and whatever and wash their face and hands and so forth and put their clothes on. They're ready for school after hopefully a little breakfast. Amen? So here she thought, hey, Mom, let me take a shower or a bath in the morning because the teacher's asked this same thing for 2 months, and she couldn't hold her hand up. Can you imagine how embarrassed that child is? Children get embarrassed like adults. Do you believe that? So we need to be very cautious and careful and help them in any way we can, because that embarrassment can mark that person for the rest of their life. Prayer brings us peace. As the song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That says a lot, don't it? That says a whole lot, folks, and I want to tell you it's very important. I feel, though, that sometimes our busyness is one of our major hindrances to righteous living. We have so many demands placed on us these days, it seems, that we often take care of these rather than what is really needed. We're so busy scheduled. We have this to do, that to do, and something else to do. And a whole lot of it, we just need to quit doing it. Can you say amen? Until we have our prayer time, and then God will work it out much better. Sometimes we want to jump up and run out without even having breakfast and get all the things that we can do and all of this. But sometimes, folks, we just need to slow down and have a good season of prayer, and everything else will begin to fall in place. So sometimes this busyness is one of our major hindrances of our righteous living. We juggle our schedules and arrange our pursuit of righteousness around other things, instead of the things that we really should, because of the pressures of life, rather than the way that we should go. We have so many things to do. Amen. Some we could do without doing, until we have our prayer at least. Everybody's busy these days. You know, it used to be people had time to stop and talk and chat with you. Most people anymore, hey, they don't have time to stop and talk. They've got too much to do. I find myself having a lot of things that I want to get done that I could do without doing. I'll admit and I'll confess, but I think I ought to get it done. But there's one thing that I always feel like when I start something, I ought to finish it before I go to the next thing. We talked about that the other night. Through prayer, our souls are washed. Through prayer, our souls are washed. Our spirit and naturally is satisfied, and our thirst is quenched when we pray. It washes our soul. It helps us. We receive manna from heaven to feed our starving souls. It's an invisible manna that we need to feed our souls. And without prayer, I want to tell you, folks, you get hungry. You get weak. You get lonely, you get sad, you get all these other emotional feelings and all of this. Why? Because we don't get that manna from heaven, that Spirit of God descending like it did on Jesus, and letting God help us. When Robert Louis Stevens was a boy, it says, he once remarked to his mother, Mama, you can't be good without praying. How do you know that, Robert? She asked. Because I've tried it, he answered. Now, I want to tell you, folks, you can't be good without prayer. Because if you don't pray, the devil's going to sneak in and zap your victory one way or another. And that's very important that we keep our prayer life up. Another little fellow said, he had been sent to his room because he had been bad. A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer. She said, if you ask God to make you good, he'll help you. Oh, I didn't ask God to help me to be good, he replied. I asked God to help you to put up with me. Sound like a kid, right? Some of us, sometimes, we don't ask God to make us be good, but just somebody to put up with us. Nothing alters the presence and the future like prayer. The Bible's filled with examples of prayer. You believe that? Peter was set free from prison in answer to prayer. Daniel was praying, prevailing for the captive Jews. Abraham prayed for Lot in Sodom. You know the story very well, how that his nephew chose what he thought was a better land, and he went down to the plains where there was plenty of water for the cattle. But he didn't stop in the plains. He ventured on into the city. They call it the twin city, Sodom and Gomorrah. He ventured in them, and then he liked it so good, he just stayed there. He liked the tension. He liked what was going on, and he got himself all involved there. But God sent some angels and warned Abraham, said, hey, I'm going to destroy them cities. And so Abraham realized that this was a chance for him to plead for his nephew Lot. So he began to plead. If you can find 50 righteous, will you spare the cities? Yes. Well, what about 40? He kept coming right on down, 30, 20, and then he got down to 10. But you know what? They couldn't even find 10 righteous people in that entire city, twin cities they call them. I want to tell you, that must have been a horrible, horrible place. Can you say amen? That's kind of like we're seeing in our town sometimes, the evil that creeps in and all this. But still yet, I want to tell you, God is still God, and he hears our prayers and he answers them just like he did Abraham, and he sent the angels to get him out. Here Lot was, he was trying his best to get him out, and the angels were pleading with him to come on, hey, it's going to happen and all this. And there Lot and his two daughters and his wife, the only four that was supposed to be delivered out of that city. But he said, don't look back. But Lot's wife, she couldn't resist looking back, and I don't know, I have to give her the benefit of the doubt, because I want to tell you, if you saw everything that you'd ever accumulated go up in smoke, you'd probably have a tendency to look back, wouldn't you? I would, I believe. I'm just being honest. I believe I would have probably been very tempted to, if not. So she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So the thing about it is, folks, we need to understand, when God is leading us out and he says, don't look back, what does he mean? Take a second look. No, he means don't look back. And he destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone. Wasn't it something? Melted them down. Can you imagine all the screaming and crying and all this? Man, it was a terrible time. Then Samuel prayed for the Israelites when they were invaded. History is full of examples. And we will receive future rewards. Do you believe that? He said he would reward us openly, did he not? And he talked about that in the scripture, in the very first scripture that I read you, Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, thou shouldest not be as the hypocrites are, for they love praying. They love to pray, rather, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So they had their reward. They get all the reward. That's all they get. Did you ever see somebody that tried to, I've seen public officials, and you know their lifestyle is not doing the best, but still yet they'll stand and they'll pray this big, long prayer. And they have very elegant words and all of this, which the words is all right. But all they do is pray, and to pray to be seen sometimes, I said sometimes, and the only reward they're getting is what they're getting right then. I don't want that reward now, because he tells us in verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut the door, go in the closet and shut the door. In other words, shut all the noise out. I remember being told about grandmas, and grandmas would, they didn't have a prayer closet, but when the kids come in, they saw grandma and she had her big long apron and she had it over her head. They better not make a sound. They better not holler, "Mama, I need this. Mama, Jimmy hit me." No, you better walk on out, because that was mama's prayer closet. Mama was praying and seeking God for their needs and whatever else that needed to be done. So there'll be a reward for all prayers that pray secretly to God. Now, isn't that great? Now, there's nothing wrong with praying openly. Don't get me wrong with what I'm saying. But also, sometimes we just need to get in a prayer closet, because we need our rewards. God's going to reward us openly. When you pray and seek God and talk to Him, He'll reward you openly. So these rewards is something that we need, right? So sometimes, folks, the power of this prayer closet is something that is really something. It's power over confusion, disorder in your life, in your family, your jobs, and even in your church. So when we pray, we need to understand about this. And David was talking about, "He that dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And that is in Luke 91 and verse 1. So I'm going to tell you, folks, God is really good, is He not? We need to get with God and just us and God. I'll never forget, I don't guess, we're going to the Clay City Mountain Parkway Church of God at the time, and we were going in to pray for some people that were sick. And there was Barney McClure, that's Frances Ross now, her first husband and I, and another person or two, I can't remember exactly who it was. And we went in to pray for this person because they were deathly ill. I mean, they were really sick. And here we were trying to anoint them with oil, lay hands on them, and they had their favorite program on TV. They were trying to look around us, and they wanted to see their program. They wanted us to pray, but they couldn't miss their program. So I'll never forget, Barney McClure just walked up behind and kind of backed up to the TV, and is one of the push button kind, and he just pushed the button in and said, "I believe we can pray better with that thing off." And you can see the kind of the countess change on that person. "You turned my program off." But folks, I want to tell you something. Sometimes you need to turn everything off. Turn the TV off. Turn off your favorite soap opera or whatever you're watching, or your program, whatever it might be. Gunsmoke or Gunslinger or whatever. Turn it off and get along with God. So we need to get along with God and have no distraction. I'll tell you, the worst distraction you can have a lot of times in praying, you'll be right in the middle of really getting to praying good and the phone will ring. One of the aggravatingest things in the house anymore, because these telemarketers. "Oh, your warranty is expired on your car. Your warranty has run out on your false teeth." When you don't even have false teeth. We get these all the time about the neck brace, the back brace, the knee brace, all kinds of stuff. It's the aggravatingness thing. I'm telling you, folks, it is something else. Sometimes it makes you want to shoot your own phone. Don't it? Seriously? It's aggravating. I don't know what we can do about it other than we've got so many calls blocked on ours. I tell you what, sometimes we might block some of y'all accidentally. We do. Please forgive us. But we just end up blocking me. Block them rascals every time you get a chance. You won't put up with them. A call tried to come in. Blocked. I like to see that. I said, yep, she's done it again. She's done it again. She blocked another one. But we need time, quiet time, don't we, church? We need some time alone. When was the last time you offered up a strong crying and tears for anyone, including yourself? See, a lot of times the only time people get serious is when they have a child sick or they have one of the family members sick, and then they get really, really sincere with God. Isaiah said that the Father saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. That's found in Isaiah 53:11. So he found this. And then I like this. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. He's talking about this. May we care about others' lost state like the psalmist did in 119:134. Now, it's amazing to me how sometimes, folks, we can get so sincere when everything go wrong. When things are going smooth, we don't have time to pray to God. We need to take time, because there will be times that you're going to need God. Come to the music, please. See, the man or woman who mobilizes a Christian church, meaning our church, to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism even in history. And we must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring in the power to the earth. Prayer is not learned in a classroom so much, but it's in the prayer closet. Prayer does not fit us to be a greater worker, maybe, but then it does, because prayer is a greater worker. So let's pray for strength to do the will of God, but let's do it in our prayer closet. I wished I had a prayer closet, you might say. Well, I want to tell you something right now. There's one place in the house that there's a lot of prayer going on with families, especially have a lot of children. They may be pecking on the door and all this. You can go in the bathroom, lock the door. Sure, the little ones may be pecking on the door. What are you doing in there, Mama? What do they think you're doing in there? Well, you do in the bathroom, but hey, you can use that as a prayer closet too. You say, but I wouldn't want to pray to God because it smells in there. Hey, you know what? It doesn't make any difference. God still knows you're in there. He knows all about it. You can still pray to him if you're in your restroom. Can you say amen? So God is good. Find your place and pray. And this is what I'm trying to emphasize today. The prayer that we do in our prayer closet's going to be rewarded, and it's going to be rewarded openly. God is going to reward us. Let's stand, would you please? Have you had some things you've been thinking about and praying, just a little prayer here and there and hitting a miss prayer, and you've been wanting God really to move in, and you think, well, I don't know if God's going to move or not, but I guess he will in his time. Listen, folks, I want to tell you, God's mind has been changed in a lot of prayer closets. God tried to change everything with Lot being in that city, but what happened? Hey, they couldn't find very many righteous people at all. There's righteous people in the world. There's righteous people in our families. But there's a lot of sinners in our families too. We need to pray. We need to go to God in prayer. Get in your prayer closet. You don't have to tell everybody what you're praying. You're not talking to everybody else, no way. They can't answer your prayers. It's all right for them to join in concert and pray with you, but hey, go to God alone and He'll help you through the situation you're in. He's here to help you. He's here to help you. The altar is open as they play and sing. Will you come this morning? Will you come and just let God help you? Would you come in something that you've been desiring God to move in for a long time, but it's time to come and pray and let God help you? The altar is open. How long has it been since you've been in your prayer closet? How long? How long? Come, will you come?